Welcome to NY Giants Rush. Good evening, people. This is your host, Craig Santucci, and we are about to dive into some New York Giants football. The team is 0-4, and I had to crank up these podcasts for this year purely on the fact that I need to vent, just like everybody else. And we're going to make this about the 15 things that we learned 1 quarter into the season. Look, I love the Giants just like you guys do. But sometimes I find that we're either too politically correct or we're not allowed to criticize our team. Or if we do criticize the team, everyone gets on your back about being too critical. It is what it is. We're fans. We're dedicated. We're loyal. But we also see a good or bad product on the field. We know what a good team should look like, or a team that's trying. Now, the last two games, or maybe game and a half, the Giants have definitely put forth a good effort. But after four complete games and the team being 0-4, we have learned quite a few things about the Giants that we didn't know when the season started. And then, of course, there are some things that we did know, but now have just been exposed at a whole nother level. So you are listening to NY Giants Rush live. And, of course, the website is nygiantsrush.com. Hope you're checking out the content there. There's a lot of articles there from some of our staff, like Shane and Adam and Steve and Mike, sometimes myself. We're all firing in some different types of content. We hope you read it. Follow us on Twitter at NY Giants Rush. If you want to get involved, you know, hit us up on Twitter and let us know. We're always looking for additional writers who've got an opinion and something to say, which right now everyone has something to say. And it's a lot of noise, but it's with good reason. It is with good reason right now because this team is in complete disarray. And I do think some of it is a little misguided, but I'm going to dive into it, you know, a little bit more. So, that pie in the sky predictions that we were all kind of on board with in the preseason, you can't play the game on paper. It's just a reminder. It's another reminder that you don't play the game on paper. You just don't. You play the game on the field, and all the expectations can be thrown out the window. So the rest of this season at this point is going to be spent watching rookies develop. And of course that old cliche of playing for pride. Can they run the table and surprise the world, shock the world? Yeah, of course, I guess any team could, but knowing that they have to play the Chargers and the Chiefs and the Raiders, it's a tall order for this team to win six games. It's going to be a tall order. Do they have the talent? Yes. But there is so many things that are dysfunctional at this point. I'm not so sure they can get out of their own way. So here are my top 15 things that we learned after one quarter of the season. And, of course, as you will know, the Giants are 0-4. And it is ugly. Okay. Number 15. Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is not the same player he once was. He might actually be done. Is he serviceable? Yeah, of course he is. Is he a number two? No. He's not a number one, and he's definitely not a number two because he can't make the big catch. Does he make a hard catch now and then? Yeah. He's a possession machine. He almost reminds me of Keyshawn Johnson at his end of his career. You know, he's going to go over the middle. He's going to catch a tough catch in traffic. But, like, when you really need him to make a play, he's nowhere to be found. Do I really like Brandon Marshall? Yes. Have I been impressed with his work ethic? Yes. But there's no way that this guy should be dropping the amount of balls that he does. And specifically, dropping some beautifully placed balls right on his hands. And by the way, this guy's getting paid NFL money to catch the ball. We're not asking him to do a whole lot. He's got to make those catches if he's going to make a difference. Otherwise, like I said, I'm not really sure why he's a number two receiver right now, but we're finding out firsthand that this guy may be done. And I don't mean done like he can't play. I mean done being an elite receiver. You know, it's time for him to be moved to the back burner because he maybe is an end zone, a red zone guy. You know, throw him a jump ball or something. I don't even know. But right now, he doesn't look like he's got passion on the field. When the ball is in the air, he's not up there fighting for it. I mean, numerous times he's stuck his hand out, you know, with a half-hearted try. I just don't see it. And Brandon Marshall, to me, is a number three receiver, and Sterling Shepard should be the number two. Number 14, losing Jonathan Hankins was bigger than anyone thought. Yeah, I am on board with that right now. The Giants have jet-setted out pretty much every defensive tackle they've had over the last 10 years, starting with Barry Cofield and Linval Joseph and Jonathan Hankins. It's you know, it's Jerry Reese's thing. He puts no stock in the linebackers. He puts no stock in the defensive tackles. He thinks they're replaceable. But I'm going to tell you that, you know, I think the Kid Thomas is going to be really good. But right now, there's no pressure up the middle. No pressure. And two, Snacks is not getting free. Hankins used to take a lot of pressure off of Snacks, giving him, you know, room to squeeze through a gap, to make a play. Hankins wasn't a big sack machine, but he definitely put pressure up the middle, and he clogged up those running lanes. Right now, there's no clog, and there's no pressure. And right now, Snacks does not look like himself. So I do believe that Jonathan Hankins is a bigger loss than anyone thought. I don't know what kind of money he wanted. I don't remember the kind of money he got. But I will tell you that when this offseason came around, Jerry Reese, of course, said to him, hey, you're a priority to sign. And guess what happened? Jerry Reese pulled the fast one like he normally does, talks out of both sides of his mouth, and what do you get? Nothing. Okay? Yes, Tomlinson's going to be good. I got you. But you had a guy. And before you had that guy, you had another guy. And before you had that guy, there was another guy. There's always been a guy that Jerry Reese has let go. Okay? Barry Cofield was a great defensive tackle, and so was Linval Joseph, and so was Jonathan Hankins. Now, is it the end all that he's gone? No. But right now, we're looking for something to hang our hat on, and it was the defense coming into 2017. And right now, our big blue defense is getting whooped, whooped, and embarrassed. Number 13 on things that we learned after a quarter of the season is Darian Thompson is an average player. Now, I don't know what happened to him after he got hurt last year, but he does not look like the same guy. He just doesn't. He can't tackle, or he doesn't want to tackle. He's got no interceptions. He's supposed to be pegged as a ball hawk. Not sure if he's tentative about getting hurt. Not sure what the issue may be is. Maybe he's playing out of position. He just looks like an average player. I'm not really sure that Nat Barre isn't better than him. I'm not so sure that Adams isn't better than him, you know, but he's getting a lot of playing time, and I'm not seeing it. I just, you know, at that point, being a starting safety, if Collins is going to be a thumper and Collins is going to be in the mix making plays underneath, you got to have a guy over top that can cover, a guy over top that's going to get airborne and pick a ball off and pull the rock out of the sky and go the other way. And he definitely has to be able to tackle in the open field. All things that Darian Thompson has not done. Right now, for whatever reason, Darian Thompson looks like an average player. Again, not sure if that's a residual from last year and his injury, but I'm not seeing it. Number 12 on the countdown. Brad Wing should lose his job. Come on, people. He's only paid to punt. He's got no other job, nothing else to do. Imagine you got paid to write your name. You'd write your damn name perfect every single time. Imagine you got paid to just tie your shoes. You'd make sure your shoes were tied perfectly every single time. It's your only job. His only job is to punt the football. I don't know if he's out with the ladies. I don't know if he doesn't care. I don't know. He's probably a really good dude. But right now, he's cost us now back-to-back games, two bad punts, can't have it, move on. Go find another punter. I don't care if you bring him from Canada, but go find a guy that can kick. Because right now, Brad Wing seems to be caught up in something that's affecting the way he punts. So, you know what? Kickers are interchangeable. They just are. Very few of them stick around for forever. Just go bring a guy in this week to compete, and maybe if you don't want to give him the job this week, bring him in, and maybe it's next week. But go find a new punter. I'm sorry. There's no reason to be loyal to a guy who just shanked two major punts in a row. 15 yards? I mean, come on. You're getting paid to kick the ball, and you kick the ball 15 yards? That's embarrassing. All right, moving on. Aldrick Rojas. He should lose his job, too. Another kicker. Jesus. Marion Joseph. His only job is to kick the ball. What's he do against the Lions? Kicks the ball out of bounds. What's he do this week? Misses a field goal. Like, you can't have it. It's your only job. You're not learning this huge playbook. You're not, you know, going up against talent who's smacking you in the face mask. You're not getting some guy putting his helmet under your chin strap. You're just kicking the ball. Kick the ball. That's all you got to do. And Albert Rojas, see you, bud, later. Go get, you know, Mike Nugent, bring him back, and let him kick the rock. Because right now, kickers, as I just mentioned about Brad Wing, they're a dime a dozen. Do you need them? Yes, of course. And but I don't understand why I ought to be loyal to a guy who can't do his job. It's not like he's doing his job sometime. There's only been four games, and he's already kicked the ball out of bounds once, and he's already missed a field goal. Like, it would be different if the team was 2-2, or 3-1, or even 1-3. But the team's 0-4. 0-4 means drastic changes coming. Brad Wing goes, Aldrick Rojas goes, Rosas, however you want to pronounce it. I'm sure he's a wonderful guy, but Chet said it out. See you later. All right, moving on. Countdown. Top 15 things we learned about the New York Giants after an 0-4 start. Man, I like this one. Number 10, Paul Perkins should lose the job. Paul Perkins was handed the job and did nothing with it. I mean, I like Perk, but man, he hits the hole so slow. Way too much slash and not enough dash. There's nothing there for it. I just don't. Either he doesn't have field vision, or he just doesn't have a quick step. I mean, yes, we got lucky when you drafted Ahmad Bradshaw, you know, Adam Marshall in the 7th round, and the Giants have done well with later round backs. But this isn't the guy. Like I feel bad for Perk. I know he got hurt, but he's just not the guy. Look what happened when his replacement came in. Bang, Gelman. All of a sudden, there was a running game. All of a sudden, there was an up-tempo. Sorry, Paul. You're either getting cut or you're going to the bench. There's plenty of other running backs that are looking for jobs. All right, we are halfway there, a little bit more. We are on our way to being halfway there because number 9 in the combo is Wayne Gellman has won the starting running back job. The guy ran hard, you know. A great interview with him saying, you know, just took him to get past that first, you know, that first run to get the butterflies out. Kid ran hard, found the hole, hit it, put his shoulder pads down. Oh, what a spark it was! I mean, he was averaging, 4.4 yards a carry. I mean, just so happy to see that. Good for Gellman. He should be the starter right now, and Perk should be going to the bench. I know there's plenty of you Perk fans out there and be like, man, you know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. The guy doesn't see the hole. Perk can't get through the hole. And I already know the line is bad. So if there is a hole, it's tiny, and it's only there for a couple seconds. But Gellman, who's twice the size of Perkins, got through those holes, no problem. It's a field vision thing. It's a feel thing. You know, it's an understanding of the role. Maybe Perk's a little tentative. I don't know what it is. But Wayne Gellman Jr. has won the starting running back job, ran hard enough to be the starter. this coming week versus the L.A. Chargers. How lame is that, the L.A. Chargers? Give me a break. Okay, number 8 on the countdown of top 15 things we learned about the Giants that are 0-4. Yep, I'm going to keep saying, just so you understand how bad 0-4 is. Number 8, there is zero pass rush, especially with OV out. Feels like 2015 all over again. Remember before OV got here? Wow, the pass rush was dismal to nothing. I mean, we just could not. Robert Ayers tried, you know, couple other guys, just we had no pass rush, and that's what it feels like all over again. And you know, listen, the guys like Aquara, you know, and Kerry Wynn, they're all nice role players, but without OV, man, it is like the desert, dry. You just let Jameis Winston stand in there and throw the rock. He had so much time. It was just maddening. You gotta have a pass rush, man. And I mean, Spags, I didn't find him overly aggressive, but just, you know, you gotta send folks. Send the corners, send the safeties. You gotta send folks. I love when he sends DRC off the edge. I love it. But I'm sorry. It's a problem. And if OV's down, again, we got a depth issue where there's just not. We've always had enough pass rushers on the Giants to rotate. There was Kiwanuka and Strahan and Osi and Tollefson and Tuck and Canty. And there was always enough guys to rotate that were all stellar players. But rotating Aquara and, you know, Owo when he was on the team and a handful of other guys, like, the pass rush hasn't been there since 2015. Before OB got here, like I said, the pass rush was dismal, and it's just gotten worse without him. You can see the difference when he steps off the field. So they need to figure out the pass rush, because right now we're getting eaten alive. There's none of those days where LT was like, hey, I'm getting this guy, and you could see him coming. There's no, you know, Strahan knocking John Runyon on his butt with a bull rush and then swimming him and sacking McNabb. You know, just there's no dynamic play coming from the defensive end position without OB. Number 7 in the top 15 things we learned from the 0-4 Giants is Shane Vereen is being underused and will leave via free agent. Yeah, wouldn't you want to go? Guy's almost a Super Bowl MVP. He comes here and he basically does nothing. Listen, this guy was a running back at some point in high school, and I'm sure in college they decided to start, you know, throwing him the ball and changing him from a regular running back to a receiving running back, and all of a sudden they realized, hey, this kid's really good in space, just like Matt Forte. But they were all running backs at one time. Vereen's got great pickup, picks up speed really fast. He's a great running back. We don't use him. He's underused. He's going to go somewhere next year. Why would you stay? Because when they needed a running back, before they realized that, you know, Gellman could play, you know, there was plenty of opportunity for Vereen to be getting touches, and he's not. And I don't get it because, again, it's wasting the player. And, you know, I know he makes a good chunk of change. You know, McAdoo underuses him. Sullivan underuses him. And it's a waste because this guy in the open field is pretty electric. And he's going to walk or the Giants are going to let him go, you know. So it's just sad all the way around to bring him in. And I remember when we signed him, we didn't have enough money to sign McCourty, the Patriots safety. He went back to the Patriots. But our big signing was Shane Vereen. We were stealing Shane Vereen from the New England Patriots, and that was the way they positioned it. And I bought in, sucker. because they don't use the guy at all. It's almost like an afterthought. So that's what's got me a little bit twisted. Number six on the countdown is Eli Apple. Has no technique or ball awareness. Wow. Now, I spoke to Eli Apple's brother, and we're trying to set up an interview a little bit. He said that he's got some off-field things that are kind of getting in his way of game preparation. I don't know if it's true, but his brother is pretty sincere to me. Eli seems lost. He's like a deer in the headlights. I mean, he's never in position. He's never able to knock the ball away. Just really disappointing, 2 days. Two games. Just, he never looks back for the ball. I happen to be fortunate to play a little college ball, and I remember playing DB, and the coach would always tell you, look the receiver in the eyes, and when his pupils get big, snap your head around and look for the ball. The ball's coming as his eyes get bigger. This guy's got no technique at all. He's pass interference, or he's completely, held up at the line. I can't even go into it. His game is so frustrating right now. And that moved DRC to the inside, which DRC likes, from what I've been told. But I'm not seeing the Eli Apple thing. Yeah, I know. All you guys are going to get all fired being, he stinks, he's terrible, he should never be there. The Giants, plucked him off the board too early. All those things could be accurate. But we're stuck with him, and he's a first-round draft pick. First-round draft picks don't go anywhere, but it wouldn't be bad to sit him on the bench or move him to nickel. Number five, Rhett Ellison. Rhett Ellison's a pretty cool player. He's underrated, and he's underused. He can block, as you know. Devin Kennard said he was one of the best blockers he had saw in college. If you catch the ball, as you can see, he runs good routes. He sneaks out. I don't see a reason why he's not being used more in the offense, whether it's from a fullback position or a tight end position, or chipping on a linebacker, or just throwing him a seam route. Throw the guy the ball. Like, if it's a pass, it's okay if it goes to an open guy, and if that open guy is open, then we throw him the ball. I mean, Rhett Ellison needs to get on the field. He seems to make plays when he's on the field. But he's getting, 15 snaps a game. You're paying this guy, some big, big cash. If I'm not mistaken, he's making $18 million over 4 years. Use the guy. Throw him the ball. Let him chip. Let him do the rubs. But throw the guy the ball. He's just being underutilized in a great way. And I think that, while he's better than Bear Pascal, that's kind of what he reminds me a little bit, where he'll get in dirty and, beat up on those DNs and outside linebackers. But, Solomon and Hackett, you got to use him, put him in the game. Number four. We're making headway. Number four. On the top 15 things we learned about the New York Giants after an 0-4 start. And that's tough even coming out of my mouth. 0-4. Number four, wrong personnel on the field for the field goal was unacceptable. Yes, Odell got pushed out. There's some pictures on Twitter saying he didn't step out, but for most part, he stepped out, which means he can't throw in the ball because he's ineligible to come back in. Don't even know what to say. Just, it's unbelievable everything that could potentially go wrong. And then when you take the penalty, they take the penalty and you move the ball back, you got to have the right personnel on the field so we can kick the ball. So it's just been a cluster, no doubt about it. Number three is about DJ Fluker. I thought he made a difference. I can't tell in a great way, but, we were so complaining about everything else that was going on that we kind of ignored Fluker. And from what I've been told and some of the replays I've seen and some of the video on NFL Network, was that he played a decent game and it's worth having the guy around. So that's pretty impressive. And you know what? It's a little too late. I think they should have realized it in camp that this guy was better than Jerry or better than Hart. So, you know, again, comes back to loyalty from JR, which is unfounded because, you know, Fluker was a first-round draft pick, and yes, he's someone else's trash at this point. But letting him play would help him earn his stripes. So DJ Fluker, good job. I thought he made a difference. Number two, not sure how we're supposed to win with major injuries from Richburg and Perkins and Ovi and Snacks and Flowers. It's really tough to come back on the road when you've got five major injuries. You know, some of these guys kind of limped in and limped out. What are you going to do when you have all those injuries? I mean, you're playing backups like Brad Jones. So I can't be too hard on them, but I can be hard on them. So now you've kind of at least has a better picture on what we learned, you know, over the last 48 hours. But I will tell you something. The number one thing that we learned is that Eli Manning still cares about winning. He gutted it out on Sunday. He looked sharp and did everything possible to win that game, including that 20-yard-plus scamper in the end zone. I mean, the rest of the team can't say that. He gave his all at the end of the, you know, the fourth quarter for against the Philadelphia Eagles. And then this week, I mean, the guy was spot on. You know, they went to a shorter drop, more three steps, get the ball out of your hand. It worked. He looked good. There's no reason to think that, you know, he's done, because he's not done. I mean, he's still a good quarterback. I mean, he's got issues, and he forces the ball, and sometimes he makes really dopey plays. But, man, he looked great the last 2 weeks, threw the snot out of the ball, and the receiver's got to catch it, and the line's still got to block. So the number one thing that we learned is that our quarterback is still intact and at the helm of the ship and should be respected and supported. Overall, the GM of the Giants has let this team down time and time again. It's the crux of the problem. Bad drafts and bad free agent moves. And this is a guy who hasn't done anything since 2011 to make this team any better. I mean, he let Hankins go. He let Linval Joseph go. He let Martellus Bennett go. He let Robbie Gould go and Mike Nugent go. He released James Jones. He released Chris Hogan, who probably wasn't ready at the time. He didn't sign a real left tackle or a real right guard or a real right tackle. He didn't sign LeGarrette Blount. He did sign a fullback, but he already had Red Ellison on the team at $18 million. Over 4 years. So why he signed a fullback on top of that just to cut him makes no sense. I'm looking over his draft. I mean, he drafted Prince Amakamura and Marvin Austin. He drafted David Wilson, Reuben Randall, and Hosley. He drafted DeMontre Moore, Nassib, and Cooper Taylor. He drafted Bromley and Andre Williams. He drafted Flowers and Owa and McKeely Thompson. He drafted Eli Apple and Darian Thompson. So it just, if this guy has killed us every step of the way, it's time for Jerry to go. Now, nobody fires anybody during the season, but I'm just making the statement that it's just, this is built on Jerry's legacy, and he just can't put the right people in place. So, thank you for your time. I'm done rambling for a bit. Hope you enjoyed a little bit of commentary. I'm going to try to get back into these more. You're listening to NY Giants Rush Live. And the website, of course, NY Giants Rush. Follow us on Twitter, NY Giants Rush. And check out the other writers and their great content. Again, it's a little short and sweet, but I needed to get off my chest that the Giants are in trouble. but they've brought it upon themselves because there is some really, really good talent there, and some simple solutions could be made with, you know, putting Red Ellison at left tackle to help out Flowers and putting Wayne Gillman in as the running back and swapping Sterling Shepard for Brandon Marshall. There are plenty of opportunities for this team to turn it around. It's just a little bit too late.